Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this.
Hi there,
thing.
I hear you.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody. It's Rated G Radio. We are halfway through September, if you can actually even believe that is possible. I don't know. I say this year over year over year, but where does the time fly? I don't know. But as we are getting ready to get back to school, a lot of your kids are already back in class. I thought tonight would be a great time to reconnect with the most amazing Dr. Shannon Connor. She's going to be coming on the show in just a couple of moments, and we're going to be talking about kids and wellness and health and all that kind of fun stuff that it's really important to take a look at this time of year. Couple of quick announcements and shout-outs. The second the show is done tonight, I'm racing out of the studio, and I'm going to head over to Downtown Disney. I've never been there before, so I'm hoping OnStar can get me there. And I'm going to be watching and listening to Mr. C.J. Reich play his drums. I don't know what to expect other than he plays there all the time, and he's really spectacular. He's also a director and filmmaker, and I had the pleasure of seeing several clips that he's put montages together for a big studio production that he is looking to put out. And we are just going to go kind of like have a meetings of the minds as he's playing or afterwards. So we'll get to all of that. Tomorrow is Tarot Tuesday, so if you would like to get a complimentary 5-minute three-card read tomorrow, you will have Tarot Jeff back on the line with you. And just to round out the rest of the week, David Cohen is coming onto the show from New York City on Wednesday to talk Black Coin. We're doing that as a special early Rated G Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific time so I can get to Dr. Connor's office. We're going to ask her about that, too, for her movie that she's going to be debuting, showing, and talking about. And so I'm really excited about that. Thursday we've got Greg White. He is a celebrity chef. He's got a novel out, The Pink Marine, and he's also going to be on a brand new show on TNT about cooking. You've got to check this out. And then Friday we're going to be having a very special early Friday night dance party with flamenco guitarist Eric Kamen calling in from someplace on the East Coast. I'm not sure because the man is traveling all over the world. But with that being said, welcome back to the show. Dr. Connor, how are you?
Thank you very much. I'm great.
How is
nice
the rest of your
warm
day? It's hot today, isn't it? It's crazy.
It's so hot.
Oh, my
our
gosh.
Our air conditioning decided to quit in our building, so
oh,
it was
no.
Taking care of patients in the sauna. So,
well,
but
you know, maybe
right.
There's a little sweat therapy there. That maybe that's not such a bad thing to have happen, but, you know, you,
yeah,
you just recently moved to your brand-new office.
Yes.
And how has that experience been? Because it was really just kind of like right down the road. And for all the listeners that don't know, Dr. Connor is in a gorgeous new office in Costa Mesa. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, we just moved. We've doubled our space, and I'm really excited about that. We have a new doctor who came on. I'm really excited about having her. Just wanted to create the space. We have I wanted to make a center so that we could have new doctors come and train with the work that we do. Because it is so specialized and different, and there's not a lot of people doing it, so I wanted to be able to have a place where we could get more people learning how to do it and helping more and more people.
Well, the one thing that I really like about the space, and not that the other place wasn't great, but the new place, I love the parking. That's a big plus for me. The elevator is quick, another big plus, and the surroundings that you're decorating the office in, it's very welcoming. So it's one of those where you walk in, you have bright big windows, you've got a cool front desk reception area, and then all of your spaces are just, they're very well lit. It's inviting, warm, friendly, and you just want to come in and get adjusted and get well.
Yeah, I try to create an environment where people can come and feel like they're at home and kind of relax and be happy with where they're at. So thank you very much. I appreciate you noticing.
Well, yeah. So Dr. Connor was on a couple of months ago, and she is a chiropractor with a unique perspective on upper cervical care, and I'm glad she clarified what that was before. I may ask her to kind of detail that just in a little bit, but tonight we're really going to talk about going back to school and talking about kids and health care and all kinds of things that are important at this time of year for them. But for everybody who didn't catch you last time, but we want to make sure they get caught up this time, can you tell us a little bit about what your specialty is and why this is so important for people?
Yeah, sure. So what I do is it's upper cervical care. And what does that mean? Well, what I do is I balance the brain and the spinal cord from the top of the spine. It's a very precise way of doing things. You know, most people don't, they go to their doctor and you go get your blood checked, you get your heart checked, you do all these different tests, but nobody really checks your nervous system. Is your master controller of the whole body. Your brain and your spinal cord connect to everything else. So nobody really gets that that's a problem until usually there's a big problem. And so there's different ways of approaching it. So what I have found is that, you know, and I've been doing this for 20 years now, but that the body, I mean, I have such great reverence for the body. And I like to, my approach is very laser in, figure out what's wrong, and then let's correct it with minimal invasion to the body. Let's put the body in a position where it can actually heal. And so everything we do is actually very objective. When a patient comes in, we do a scan of their nervous system and their discs, and we see where the stress is. And then when you do an evaluation and look at different things, like how is someone carrying their weight from one leg to the other? How are they standing? What's going on with posture? You know, posture tells you a lot about what's going on with your body. And so as the body goes out of alignment, and we're going to get into it with kids because it's a passion of mine, but when you have compression in the spine with the bones, with the head, with the pelvis, you get neurological stress. And that neurological stress creates all kinds of imbalance. And when people are younger, they may not notice anything, or their problems may be, you know, everybody comes in with different things, but an ache or pain may go away quickly. But then as we get older and the body can't adapt, then we start to feel things. And so what happens is that you get compression of nerves, and then you get you start to get diminished nerve flow and blood flow to different organs, glands, systems, to the brain, you know. A lot of people think learning disorders, they don't even know what causes that necessarily. And when you have diminished nerve flow or blood flow to the brain, that can just be a problem, you know, that can be the reason why maybe a child or an adult has a learning disorder. It can be as simple as that. So what I do is I assess the spine. We're looking at posture, we're looking at weight differential, we're looking at leg length, and if all those things are showing me that there's neurological stress, then I take some x-rays and I actually look at the biomechanics and physics of that person's individual spine. And I figure out, is it something I can help them with or not? But my goal is to bring that spine into a neutral position. I decompress it. I bring it into what we call orthogonal or neurological neutral, and then we let the body do what it's meant to do, because the body's designed to work perfect given the right circumstances. And so basically we get out of the way and let the body do what it's supposed to do. So the healing actually occurs in between when I see patients. We just have to retrain the system to know straight is normal as opposed to crooked. And there is a step-by-step way that we go about doing it. It's not just willy-nilly. I'm looking for patterns. I'm looking for biomechanical changes. And essentially, it's like trying to hit a golf ball in the hole. So we bring it there, and then once it's there, we want to keep it there.
Well, thank goodness you're as good as that as you are, because your patients love you. And
well, thank you.
As somebody who's newer coming to visit with you, I've gotten a chance to, you know, just casually visit and say hi to the people that are sitting in the lobby waiting, because, you know, you're always busy. And they're always like, isn't Dr. Connor the best? Oh, my gosh, you can't believe how, you know, messed up I was before I started coming to see her. And now, you know, and they'll tell their little story before I'm, you know, escorted back to, you know, for my appointment. And it time and time again, you see these different faces, and they're like, I feel so much better after visiting with Dr. Connor. So you're clearly onto something, and I think you're on the right track with me, absolutely. And I'm going, I can't believe I can move my neck for the first time in like 15 years. So really cool stuff that you do. But I'm not here to talk about me tonight. We want to talk about all these little kids that are going back to school and kids' health tonight. And I know that you're very passionate about wellness for everybody, and it all starts with the things that you're talking about. Where do you want to go first tonight? What would be a good place to start, going back to school?
Yeah, so, I mean, let's just talk about, you know, what happened with kids, because, you know, I don't watch TV anymore, and I stopped watching TV for probably 14 years, but one of and what irks me is all the commercials, and especially the commercials for medication. You know, when I was growing up, they weren't allowed to put that stuff on TV, and now we're indoctrinated with these things, and I can remember, you know, oh, he's ready for junior strength Tylenol. Well, the question becomes, why does Johnny have a headache in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Because a headache is a symptom that something is wrong. There's neurological stress, there's vascular problems. So why should our children be ready for any medication? And what we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing in the office, these kids are coming in and they're on all kinds of medication, and they've been on all kinds of medication since they were really little. You know, and there's a series of things that happen, and you know, as far as, you know, why this occurs. But it's really frustrating for me because, I mean, a drug should be a last alternative, especially for a child. I'm not saying that they're not necessary, because at times they are. It should be the last approach. So, you know, when a child goes in to see, they have a sniffle, they go in to see the doctor, and usually, without having the swab back, they'll already prescribe an antibiotic. Well, an antibiotic will work if it's bacterial infection, but it will not work if it's a viral infection. And so a lot of times kids, 87% of our immune system is actually our digestive tract. So only 13% has to do with our white blood cells and red blood cells and everything like that. So our immune system is actually in our gut. So when
really?
You take, one round of antibiotics, it wipes out your immune system. So now what's happening is, because kids are having all these antibiotics at a very young age, their immune systems get wiped out. So, you know, I see a lot of kids with ear infections, sinus infections, all kinds of different things. So right away they're at a disadvantage because their immune system's been wiped out. And then a lot of the times the gut hasn't been reestablished. So an antibiotic just means anti-life. Antibiotic, bio, means life. So what needs to happen is that life needs to be, because there is good bacteria in the body, and the good bacteria has to do a part of your immune system. And so that never gets reestablished with kids. So there's a lot of kids out there that have a diminished immune system. Now, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, so is this why, people who are, and I was going to really ask for myself, because I haven't had like an antibiotic for years, and
right.
I'm really anti-pill. So, but conversely, give me a standard process multivitamin or a cataplex B or something like that, and you know, which is all made naturally, and I never, ever get sick. If I get sick, it's like the lightest amount of a sniffle, and it lasts for a couple of days, and I'm healthy as a horse.
Right.
Do you find that, you know, people who are, as adults, you know, for whatever their ailment is, you know, because, again, like you're saying, the kids get on a pill by the time they're, you know, 6, 7, 8, and then they get on another pill, and then they're young adults, and then adults, and, you know, so the pharmaceutical industry has this agenda of, like, well, once you're done with this pill, you're going to need to start taking this other pill, and then don't stop taking that pill because you're going to have a stroke. So is it... because they're on all of these medications, even as adults, that, you know, you have a lot of people that just chronically continue to get sick over and over and over?
Right, yeah. I mean, we see that now a lot more, is that people have chronic illnesses. And I think what happens is that if you've ever looked at the physician's desk reference, the thing is probably as thick as 4 Bibles. And
right.
The pages are thinner, and the print is smaller, okay? And the physician's desk reference is just all side effects of a medication, tells you there's a lot of side effects, right? And, again, I'm not saying medication isn't necessary, because it is at times. But what happens is that a lot of times, you know, someone will be taking something for whatever it is, and then it creates a whole other problem in the body. And so then, you know, medical doctors, that's what they're trained to do, is they're trained to handle conditions a certain way. And so then, you know, now your child not only had this, now these things are showing up. And so, you know, again, what's the cause and why are those things showing up? And so then that needs to be treated, you know, and then say they're suffering from depression. Most people don't realize depression is not a problem, it's a symptom. It's a symptom, and what is causing that? Like they are treating, quote, depression. Well, what they're doing is they're treating a symptom. They're not actually treating the cause. And so, you know, as far as medically, they give you a medication to cover up a symptom, but again, are we getting to the cause of the problem? Are we just masking the problem? Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. So what are causes of, and this might be going off on a different tangent and help me get back on track, but what are the causes of depression then that are being masked or most common?
Well, I mean there's many different things, but depression obviously, I mean, comes from imbalances in the body. And that's, you know, something that I handle is getting the body back in balance. It's like I don't handle anything in my office. If you come in with headaches, I don't, quote, treat headaches. What I do is I put your body in a position so it can actually heal, and that way you don't get the symptom of a headache. I don't treat low back pain. What I do is I correct the spine, and when you get the pressure off the low back or the sciatic nerve or the disc has less compression in it, then the back pain goes away. So it's like I don't, you know,
okay.
I don't
yeah.
treat the particular thing. But there's reasons these things happen, you know, there's, like, as far as we're looking at our children, you know, most people don't really realize their little brains and their nervous system can be misaligned at birth. Birth is extremely traumatic. Have you ever seen a live birth?
Thankfully, no.
Yeah, well, a vaginal birth actually is the best way you can go. But what happens now is that so many times they do a C-section. And most people don't realize it, but a C-section is actually a lot harder on a baby's head or neck than a vaginal birth. A vaginal birth is slow. There's a transition process. You know, when forceps are involved, it creates a lot of stress on the brain and the spinal cord. But C-section, literally, they pull the baby out by the head and neck. They have to do it, and they have to do it fast. But what that does, child up for a misaligned spine, because when a baby is little, their head weighs two-thirds of their body weight. It's huge. So you've got this massive bowling ball sitting on top of a little bone, and when their heads are coming upright and trying to balance, and it's not in the right position, what happens is underneath has to compensate for that. So anytime I see a child with scoliosis, because they diagnose scoliosis now, you know, 8, 10, 12 years old,
sure.
I know there's usually been some major traumatic birth or, you know, cord wrapped around their neck or something like that. And so,
wow.
You know, the tree is growing crooked, right? Because right
yeah.
from the get-go, it hasn't been positioned right. So, you know, just physical trauma can misalign the body and create stress on the brain and the spinal cord. Thought process, you know, these kids have so much, there's so much expectation put on them now, it's crazy. Like, I had been married previously, and we had his nephew living with us. He's 5 years old, coming home with homework every night.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, this is insane, the pressure on these kids. Like, why does a five-year-old need homework? Like, what are you not teaching them in school that they need to come home at night? They're five. You know, but there's so much actual, you know, these kids have so much stress. We're in such a high-paced, fast world now. And, you know, just think about these kids at two can maneuver on an iPad.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so
absolutely.
Much overstimulation.
They're learning. So, yep. So what else is going on in you know, that affects children from a spine and neck standpoint? I mean, I would assume, you know, diet probably plays an impact in that. home life, how, yep.
So basically, you know, I try to keep things as simple as possible. I try to, you know, truth is simple, really. So you can have trauma, which will create, and you know, people will say to me, I ask people when they come in, well, any kind of accidents or injuries, you know, like, well, no, I didn't end up in the hospital. Well, yeah, but when you jumped off that trampoline and landed on your head, just because you weren't knocked unconscious, it didn't mean it didn't create a big impact on your body, or you fell off your bike, or you were playing football, or you were wrestling, or whatever. I mean, how many falls do we have as kids? You know, we just bounce back, right, and we think we're okay. And then I see them when they're 40 or 50 years old and they've got blown discs and their curves are reversed and all these different things that are happening in their spine. But it tells me how long they've been misaligned. I can predict that by just looking at an x-ray. So number one is trauma. I mean, there's no particular order, but trauma creates, you know, the physical effect on the body. The thought process is number two, so just the amount of stress that we're under and they're under it. And then toxins, so biochemical stress, you know, and we're in a toxic world right now. We're dealing with, especially, you know, these kids, they're not getting the proper nutrition. They're being raised on white flour, white sugar. They're being raised on artificial sweeteners. They're being raised now on GMO foods, which isn't even food, you know, it's just putting toxins in the body. You know, people don't really understand with the GMO stuff that the genetically modified things, our body handles that like a foreign object. Like, that's what, you know, immunizations originally were meant to be. When you come in contact with the toxin, the body takes it and handles it and creates antibodies against it, and then you create a resistance against it, okay? And then it'll fight against it. Well, if you're putting things into your body that the body doesn't know what to do with, it starts to create an immune response. And so a lot of autoimmune disorders, there's been a huge jump in autoimmune disorders since they started genetically modifying food. So, you know, as far as kids go, I mean, parents are busy. You know, two parents are working typically. It's hard to get a good diet in a child if you don't know what you're doing. And it's real easy to go pick up food. There's all kinds of chemicals in there that totally affect the brain. And a lot of times they're allergic to the actual additives and preservatives. So, you know, there's a whole array of things happening for these kids. And, you know, it's just scary because what will happen a lot of times is they'll get taken to the doctor, and then the doctor will say, well, they have ADD, or they have learning disorders, or they're dyslexic, or, you know, just hyperactive. Well, let's get them outside running around. You know, they've got all this energy, which is just beautiful, but a lot of schools now don't even have a phys ed class anymore. I mean,
Isn't that just crazy?
It's crazy. And they're sitting in front of a computer, they're getting overly stimulated, they're sitting there for hours, you know, and then the EMFs from the computers have an effect on the body too, you know, and so there's all kinds of things that are happening, and, you know, then a parent is overwhelmed because they don't know what to do with their child because they don't even know where to begin. So, you know, I always keep it simple. Let's assess their nervous system first, because, you know, there's two parts to your nervous system that you're not aware of. One is called parasympathetic, and that slows everything down. That has to do with digestion, elimination, sleep, okay? And then the other is parasympathetic, speed everything up, go, 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 go. And so most of our society, including our children, are in sympathetic overload. And so if you never get into parasympathetic, which is the healing part of the body, the healing time, you can't properly heal. So most kids from the get-go, you know, we throw them in front of the TV when they're little. They're like overstimulated all the time. And so, you know, we've got to get their nervous system calmed down first. We address the physical. I don't deal with the emotional necessarily. That's someone else's job.
That's somebody else. So, but, do you have like three tips that you could give a parent to help kind of reduce the amount of overstimulation that they're getting. You know, and keeping in mind all the things that you said, you know, you get two parents working, you got everything else going on, but you have two or three step things that you can suggest tonight to say, okay, do this for your kids and start seeing a measurable difference in their behavior or how they feel.
Yeah, well, I think I love taking care of kids right from the get-go when they're newborn and getting them aligned correctly. Because, you know, people don't even realize the degree of what that causes to a child, especially when they're really young. Like, I have a young boy that I take care of, and he was constipated. And, you know, they couldn't figure it out. He was breastfed, but yet he was constipated. And one correction to his spine, and he can go to the bathroom again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because their bodies work so well, right? It doesn't take much, you know. So getting their nervous system evaluated and really having someone who knows what they're doing, get that aligned, because that's always the starting point for me with anything. And then get them out and get them moving. You know, movement is so critical, and it's just, kids need to run. They need to have exercise. They need to get out all that energy that they have. Get them moving and reduce the overstimulation for them. They don't need to be in front of the TV. Have them read. Reading is interactive. Sitting in front of the television is not. It's a one-way flow. And so, you know, just something simple where you turn off the TV at a certain time. I'm not saying don't do any of it, but, you know, limit that kind of stuff for them. You know, and it requires discipline, because it's easy to put the kids in front of the TV as a babysitter. But I think the job of the parent is to raise a healthy, functioning human being. So you've got to actually be proactive with your kids and take responsibility and also, too, open up communication. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing in life as far as breakdown. When we have breakdown in communication, we have problems. We can get breakdown with the body. We can have breakdown with, you know, others as far as the communication breakdown, and that's when trouble happens, you know, and we see it as we get older. You know, our bodies start to break down, the communication breaks down, and the body's not able to repair.
Yeah.
So, establishing communication with your child, you know, why are they depressed? Well, maybe they're getting teased at school. Maybe they're, you know, whatever it is, but really spending time where you sit down and actually interact with your children and find out what's really going on with them and paying attention, you know.
Quick follow-up, going back to you saying, you know, putting them in front of the TV and, you know, taking them out of that environment and giving, you know, having them read. Let me ask you a technology question then, because a lot of people are going to, like, the Kindles and the e-books and things like that. What's your either advice or opinion or thoughts on people who are using technology to allow their kids to read, you know, in that format? Because it's not like, you know, when we were kids and, you know, you went to the library and checked out a book. Now your mom says, here's my, you know, Kindle. You can read this book for 15 minutes. The timer starts now. How does that impact, you know, with any of the electromagnetic things and, you know, the energetic vibes coming out? Or does it?
Yeah, that's it does, and that's a great question, you know, because here's what we know. The police department actually did a study, and the cell phones, the sperm count for the police officers, the male police officers, was reduced by 50 or 60%.
Wow.
So what does that tell you? They're being radiated, right? And
mm-hmm.
So because they're carrying the phones on their belt.
On their hip, yep.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, obviously technology is fabulous, and, you know, it's the future. We're not going to be not having our cell phones or computers and everything, but there are things you can actually do. You can put on the different electronic devices to actually neutralize the EMFs coming off of it. There's different devices, but they're like, we have these little stickers that you put on that actually doesn't stop the radiation, but it makes it biocompatible, so it doesn't create the DNA damage in the body. There's other things. There's a lot of different things out there now, because they do know that the phones and the computers, they all do emit radiation. So, you know, that's, I think, really important. I always keep my cell phone on speakerphone. I don't have it near my head. And that's a thing, too, I think a parent should know and look at in a child's bedroom, especially if they're having any kind of problems. You want to keep their little developing brains away from any kind of, like these kids sleep with their phones. Mm-hmm. You should not have that phone by their head. They should not have a computer by their head. I turn off my Wi-Fi every night. I unplug it because I do not want, when I'm trying to get into REM sleep, I do not want my brain being bombarded by those waves. You know, we're in the matrix. We just have to learn how to live with it. That's what we have to do. And, make, and you know, as far as the side effects, because everything has, you know, an effect, and then usually there's side effects with it. It's a matter of how do we make, you know, our bodies, how do we work with this as opposed to having it work against us in other ways. So having, you know, the bedroom neutralized where the child's head isn't close to the radiation. I mean, I just wouldn't, if I had a child, I would not allow them to have a television in the room. I would not allow them to have a cell phone by their head or a computer by their head. I just, it just would not be. Because that's the time when your body's supposed to regenerate. It's at night. So it doesn't need to be bombarded with a bunch of other things.
I love that you're saying that. My niece in Oregon, and I have no idea, and you know, I'm not her parent, so don't even get me started on that, but she's got a phone, and she's always on Facebook, and she's always sending me pictures of her dog, of course, which I love. So if it's a dog picture, it's like I can overlook the fact that you're up at 10 o'clock, and you're 12 years old, and you need to be asleep. But one, she sends me a note one night, and I said, "What are you doing up?" "Well, I can't sleep." I said, "Turn your damn phone off, put it on your desk, away from the bed, and go to sleep." And she goes, "Oh, that's a good idea." I'm just like, what are you thinking?
Well, they get wound up.
Right.
Yeah,
she says, "I can't stop thinking."
Up.
I said, that will help you. Put it away. Turn it off.
Right. Oh. And it's true what you're saying, though. They get wound back up because the EMFs coming off the computer, too. It affects the brain waves and it affects sleep. So if they're sitting in front of that thing right before bed, like that computer should be shut down an hour or two before they go to bed. They should not be being bombarded with those waves right before bed. So, you know, just to be able to get them into parasympathetic, if you just look at it as a gas and brake, they need to put the brake on. And most of the time they're just pedal down, way to go, and then they can't stop, they can't slow down. You know, so and then they get where they can't sleep because they're, you know, like you said, their brains, most people experience that where their brains just can't shut down. They're just like,
right,
you know, the rat in the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure we're all guilty of.
Okay, so can I guess a question for me would be to ask, if they have a computer in their room, is powering it down at night, quote-unquote, good enough, or does it need to be, like, unplugged, or what do you recommend?
Powering it down is definitely better. I mean, and unplugging any kind of Wi-Fi that would be actually in that room. If they have a laptop, I would just say get it out of the room completely.
Wow.
And no, I just wouldn't have a cell phone in the room. I just wouldn't. Yeah.
That is powerful stuff. And I'm going to be honest, I think probably since about the time that I first talked with you, and I don't know if it was just by happenstance or what, but I do kind of turn all of the electronics away. I no longer keep my iPad with me at the bed, and so, you know, I put it, it's clear on the other side of the room, so now I just need to make sure it's turned off or I disconnect Wi-Fi. But, I mean, helpful tips. But I sleep so much better not having that electronic device near me, and I don't know if it's psychosomatic, a placebo effect, or what, but I notice an absolute difference.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Those, the alarm clocks, remember the digital alarm clocks?
Yeah.
If anybody still has those things emit a huge amount of radiation.
I have one of the, it's old, but it's now getting tossed.
Yeah, definitely. I would toss that thing because you're being bombarded with huge amounts of radiation from that, you know? And
wow.
You know. Yeah, and I'll tell you something. If I forget and leave my Wi-Fi plugged in, I have wacky dreams. I have restless sleep. I know I can actually tell the difference when I don't have it plugged in compared to when I have it plugged in. I sleep completely differently.
I think this will be an interesting little scientific experiment that at least I'm going to try here. I'll challenge the listeners if you're tuning in, and I know that we've got a couple of people in the chat room that used a lot of technology. So, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping, I'm going to throw the challenge out to you to disconnect it and remove it from the room and report in another couple of weeks and let us know how your sleep patterns go, because that would be really kind of fun to hear. I want to move on to a couple of other things that you're doing this week in Costa Mesa, but before we do, do you have any closing ideas or thoughts about what's going on for kids and how we can make sure they're getting the best start to their new year?
Well, you know, as far as I want to get into toxins just a little bit about that.
Cool, yeah.
Because I think it's really, really important, you know, if God or Mother Nature did not provide it, it should not go in your body. And, you know, Doritos did not come from God or Mother Nature. And if you look at a label, because this is, I've mentored a couple kids, and one of the things that I do with them, you know, they're not performing well in school. Well, the first thing we actually do is learn how to eat properly. And, you know, because kids know, they're so sensitive,
yeah.
They're aware, but, you know, teaching kids how to read labels. You know, my first rule of thumb with a child is that if you cannot pronounce it, you cannot put it in your body. You know, and if you, but you know, the words of these additives and preservatives are like 25 letters long. You know,
yeah.
That doesn't sound like something that is supposed to go in my body.
Right, right.
You know. So if they and that's something that they can do, because you have to get your kids more causative about it. Like, you can't just throw a bunch of rules at them. They need to know why, you know. And I know with this little guy that I had mentored years ago, we made a really great meal, and we used fresh, you know, fish, and we made salsa, and we did vegetables, and we had dessert, but we had ice cream that was made from real cream and sugar, and we put bananas and chocolate sauce on it, but it was all okay, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember asking him after we finished eating, and I said, "How do you feel?" "I feel good." I said, "Exactly. That's what real food does to your body. It nourishes it." And I said to him, "How do you feel when you have fast food?" And he said,
"Bad.
I feel sick."
Yeah.
And I said, "Exactly. So you know the difference. So you need to ask for that at home. Because, you know, SpaghettiOs and Pop and, you know, the soda stuff that they put in their system, all these things are not okay, you know. And so if, and also a rule of thumb is if it can survive on the counter for a couple of weeks, it's not real food. Real food rots. Real food is found in the grocery store on the edges. It's not in the middle, you know.
Yep.
And so your body has to take that, all that artificial stuff in, and process it as it would any kind of artificial substance that comes in. And so it's not food. It's actually chemicals. And so just teaching your kids that, you know, to start reading labels and paying attention to that kind of stuff, because you know, we see so many allergies with kids. You know, number one, they should be breastfed because that's where they get their initial immunity. And number two, that if they've had their immune system wiped out with antibiotics, you have to reestablish it with probiotics and other kinds of things nutritionally to get them sound. But, you know, kids should not have allergies. Kids should not have headaches. Kids should not have aches and pains. You know, they shouldn't have sleep problems. They shouldn't have depression. You know, all those things a lot of times can be linked nutritionally. Did you know that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
That 95% of the soy now is genetically modified food.
Ugh.
95%.
Okay, so we have this 95% number out here, and you know, we see, and truthfully, I don't watch a lot of TV either, and it's just, thankfully, my life is busy to the point where now I call it the luxury of watching TV. I'm actually blessed not to, so we can debate TV another night. I'm going to be on your side for the record, but you see on TV a lot of commercials for this and that and the other thing, and if I'm a busy parent, and or, probably and, I have a limited budget for food and things like that. Let's say I've got, you know, a family of four that I'm trying to take care of. How do I make better choices, realizing that I just can't go from, you know, let's be real, I just can't go from feeding a bunch of SpaghettiOs and frozen pizzas to, you know, Whole Foods, organic everything, and watch my grocery bill go from $100 a week to $500 a week, or, you know, I'm just making that number up, but, you know, it's more expensive to eat organically. How could I make some maybe short-term wins going in the right direction, you know, and kind of start building, I don't want to say slowly, but building, you know, step over step, you know, feet over feet, day over day to better health for my family? What would be a couple of big ones that you would do?
Well, first of all, I would get them eating real food as best you can. So there's farmers markets. There's, you know, to buy local is much better than, you know, buying in mass, where there's going to be, you know, you don't know where it actually came from. But, you know, the farmers markets are pretty reasonable, and you can get a lot of fruits and vegetables that way. You know, as far as meat goes, there are organic butchers, but getting good meat that's hormone-free and antibiotic-free, I think what people's mentality needs to shift from, because everybody's like, quick fix, do it now, be done. I tell people, you're going to pay all along or you're going to pay in the end. And if you have a child's medical bills, because it's ridiculous, like some of these conditions, how much it actually costs, right? If suddenly you have to fork out $12,000 for this or that, like people are willing to pay $10,000, $12,000 for orthodontics to straighten their child's teeth, but are they willing to pay some extra money to actually put good food in their system that will actually create health and longevity for them and not have to deal with conditions? So there's always going to be a trade-off. So
sure.
I don't know that there's any way around other than, you know, I mean, obviously not everybody can afford to shop at Whole Foods, but there are farmers markets. You can, you know, buy local. There's places I know you can go online where you can actually buy meat. If you have a freezer, you can buy, I don't know how you do this because I don't, you know, I won't go buy half a cow or something, but you can actually buy meat, organic meat, and have it shipped to you, and then you have enough meat for the next year or whatever it is, and
right.
It's in your freezer, and it's ready to go. So, you know, there's ways around it, especially, or not ways around it, but there's ways of providing for your family. It's just a matter of looking at the investment and what is that going to do for you, you know, because I've seen it over and over again, especially where we are. People will put the money in their cars. They'll do the maintenance on their cars, but they won't do the maintenance on their body. And your body is your vehicle that has to take you through life. So you keep a car for 10 years, probably max. Most people don't even do that anymore. And you do the regular maintenance on it. But what do you do for your body to actually maintain it and give it the right things or clean it out, you know? We'll do it for a car, but we won't do it for ourselves until we have the major breakdown.
And then it's
too
late.
And that's a shame. Yeah, well,
you know,
it's not necessarily late, but damage
has
been done.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And it costs you more. So it's, you know, penny wise, pound foolish kind of a thing. So people really need to kind of, I think, just look at what their priorities are. And, you know, I mean, obviously the health of your family. If you don't have your health, you have nothing, you know. And ask anybody who's ever had any kind of condition. They know. Suddenly it becomes a huge priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're willing to do what it takes.
And speaking of having good health, this coming Wednesday in your clinic at 6:30 p.m.
We're doing the movie screening for Doctored. It's a great documentary. And it just kind of gets into, you know, some of the lies or some of the myths that we buy into. And it's kind of enlightening, you know. I'm going to give you this one statistic because it's just astounding to me. But the United States of America consists of, that's 5% of our world's population. And yet, the U.S. consumes 50% of the world's drugs. 50%.
Wow.
We're ranked 37th in industrialized nations for health care, and yet we spend more per capita on each individual person than any other country in the world. It's like 7,900 or 8,200, something like that. The next closest country might be Sweden, and I think they're at $49,000 or $5,000 a person. And I would really like that $7,000 or $8,000 from my government so I could go spend it on myself, take care of myself.
Right.
Because I think I could put that to good use, you know. And then if something happened, then I would be responsible for my own bill. But I think that's the whole thing. I think that one thing that I'm most excited about Obamacare is that we have to start taking responsibility for ourselves. We have to actually do things proactively to create health and wellness in our bodies so we do not need to go to the doctor, because we don't even know if whatever we have will ever be covered or handled. And so, I mean, there has to be a shift in mentality in this country, or we're in big trouble.
How long is that documentary on Wednesday night?
It's an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm asking for me because it's like, okay, is it, you know, like 20 minutes long, or do I need to bring popcorn or something like that? Okay, organic popcorn, of course.
We will have non-GMO popcorn and good butter.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with good butter. It's actually good for your brain. You need good fat, and that's another myth that we all buy into. You know, these kids think fat-free, the parents think fat-free is the way to go because we were told that many years ago, and we did that for a long time, and there's all kinds of health conditions that are a result of that. So we now are, you know, they're reneging on that a little bit, and good fat is good for you, and it's good for your brain. So, you know, if you're little or have Alzheimer's, you should feed your brain, and everybody should feed their brain, but especially. You know.
Well, I'm all for avocados and a handful of almonds every once in a while. So, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've changed my diet over the last couple of years, and I really don't eat junk. And when I have junk that's presented to me, I have no desire for it because it just, my body doesn't crave, you know, the processed sugar. It doesn't crave the, you know, the yuck like it used to. And I have no desire to put that in my body because I know how terrible I'm going to feel after the fact.
Right, and that's what I tell patients. I go, it's a food hangover. Pay attention to that. Because, again, good food will not make you feel like that. Good food will nourish you, and you should feel energized by it. It shouldn't take you down. So, you know, people who have allergies or all kinds of different things going on with them go, okay, well, let's simplify things. Let's start, you know, cutting some stuff out and then adding it in and see how you feel the next day, because your body will tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's really about listening, right? It's about paying attention and starting to listen to what it's telling us and not giving our power away to me or any other person out there that thinks that they know better than you do. Because, you know, we all have our areas of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, when someone, I remember, and, you know, I think this is kind of an old mentality, you know, like the older generations will do this, but I'll say, you know, what's going on with your body? Well, why don't you tell me what's going on with your body? And I'm like, well, you live in it. I see you for a short period of time, and you're living in it, so you have a better idea. So, you know, but it's, again, giving the power away to the physician, which, you know, ultimately, if it doesn't sit right for you, truth sets you free. So when you hear truth, that's why when people get a diagnosis, if they've been run around and they can't find something, but if someone has cancer and they haven't been able to figure it out and they get the diagnosis of cancer, a lot of times they're relieved because they finally have some truth on what's going on with their body.
Sure.
Now, handling it's a whole different thing, right? But at least they have, okay, now I know what I've got, now I can handle that. But it's the unknown or not knowing or kind of being stuck in limbo land that makes us crazy. But truth sets you free. So when you hear something from somebody and it rings true with you, you know, because not everything works for everybody, but if it resonates with you, if it sounds like, you know, something you want to pursue and it seems right, then you're probably going to go down that path. If it doesn't seem right to you, if you're given a diagnosis and it just doesn't make sense to you, then you go get a second opinion. You start looking for answers.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, how many do we have a few seats left at the screening on Wednesday night, or are you all filled up at this point?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to call the front desk. I know we're getting filled up, but
okay.
Yeah. But you know, if anybody's interested, they're more than welcome to call, and we can always snug in.
And I'm okay with standing too. So if it needs to be standing room only, I'll give up my chair for somebody else. Now you also have a new patient special that I got a little flyer on when I was in last week. I think. Can you tell us how that works for folks?
Yeah. So what we're doing this month is just kind of along with the theme of the documentary is that we just want to give people an opportunity to have their bodies checked, have their nervous systems checked. So we'll do the initial scan of their brain and their the spinal cord and the vertebrae and the discs, and then they will meet with me, consult with what's going on with their body, and then we do an examination of the spine, and then if need be, we take x-rays. And normally that's $350, and we're doing that for $99 this month, so it's a great special.
A cool special. And you can also, by the way, and I try to get plugs in for your website throughout the show tonight, but you've had so much good information, I got kind of sidetracked promoting you. So for all the listeners who are out there, if you want to find out more information, go to drshannonconnor.com. If you're watching the show or, you know, listening to the show tonight, on the body of the show page, there's a link. You just click visit Dr. Shannon Connor's webpage by clicking here. Do that. It'll go right there. You can find out all kinds of information. And she's also got a Facebook fan page you can like, and she regularly posts information on the Facebook page too. As we get ready to wrap up the show tonight, Dr. Connor, is there anything else we should be thinking of as we get ready for the holidays?
Well, you know, let's look at the holidays. It's, quote, cold and flu season. And when does that begin? It begins right around Halloween, where
mm-hmm.
we sugar our kids up, and it ends, you know, usually in the new year. So if we as adults are monitoring what our kids are putting in their bodies, like restricting, you know, and I'm not about stop everything and let's be radical and, you know, I think kids should be allowed to indulge in things, but I think healthy things. So, you know, they don't need to be eating all that candy because that just crashes their immune system. The sugar paralyzes the immune system. I think one teaspoon of sugar paralyzes the immune system for 2 hours. So, you know, when there's the viruses and bacteria floating around and, you know, people are more prone to illness, it's usually because their immune system's down. Because if your immune system's strong and you get in contact with a virus or a bacteria, it can usually fight it off and you don't get sick. But when your immune system's crashed, which is what, you know, sugar does, white sugar, you know, you can't fight things off. So I think, you know, just as the holidays gear up, to just be really conscious of not overdoing it. I mean, it's ingrained in us. It's our society to overdo everything. And I just think, you know, Buddha said the power is in the middle path. And so if you cannot overdo all the time, and if you do, you do things to counter it the next day. If you're doing a bunch of sugar, well, maybe do a green drink. You know, you can get vegetables in children and make it taste good. You can make a smoothie, and you can throw in spinach and kale, and it'll be green, but it won't taste bad.
No, it'll taste good.
You can get the nutrition. Yeah, you can get that nutrition in their bodies, you know, in a way that they can enjoy it, and then teach them how to do that, you know, and just modify.
I've got one last question for you. This comes from the Blog Talk chat room, and listener Anita, who is in Oregon, she says, well, number one, just went to her webpage. Great information. Glad you introduced us to her and her wisdom and guidance, so you get some kudos first. Now her question, is there a time to ask her to take flu shots?
Well, you don't want to get me started down that road. We're actually going to do a teleseminar on that. Here's the thing. The virus morphs every year, and so they have to prepare the flu shot a year in advance. So they don't even know what the virus is going to be, but yet they make the shot a year in advance. Now, not only that, so they're basically having to take an educated guess on what it's going to change into, but they don't know for sure, number one. Number two, we used to, with the flu shot, it would be one virus in there. And now it may be a quadrivalent. It used to be a trivalent. So in other words, they're going to put three different viruses or four different viruses in that shot and then throw that at the human body. Now, that's not how the immune system works. When you go out into your environment and you get kind of overloaded with, some kind of virus, your body goes and attacks that virus and develops antibodies to counter that and gets actually stronger, gets a resistance to that. When you throw three or four things at the body, it becomes confused, and then it doesn't know what to do, and it can actually crash the immune system. So back when I was a kid, they used to say any children, immunocompromised, or elderly should not have the flu shot, and now it's different, and they say the elderly, the children, and the immunocompromised should have it. So, again, it just depends on what rings true to you. But if you understand how the body works a little bit, I personally, I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. And there's homeopathic things that you can actually take to help boost your immune system. So you might not necessarily, be susceptible to the cold or flu virus.
So then I'm going to ask you this. Can we bring you back maybe next month to talk about some of the things we can do to stay healthier during the holidays?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I would love that because there's a lot of things that can be done.
Okay, so we'll do that for next month. So everybody, this has been Dr. Shannon Connor. You can go visit her website, drshannonconnor.com. Go like her Facebook fan page. And Dr. Connor, thanks for being on the show tonight. I'm going to close the show, everybody, with Fontaine's Muse. If you did not hear them on the Friday Night Dance Party, you will love their music. I'm going to play a selection here from one of their albums, and this is called WWW, called Whole Wide World. We'll see you live Tuesday with Tarot Jeff. Thanks, everybody.
of love tonight.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.